Well, I have several scriptures to share with you, and I hope you have something. Don't try to follow every scripture, and we didn't get a list of this back to the sound folks, and they do such a marvelous job. We appreciate them so much. But I want to minister today on how to live real life. How to live real life. John, the 10th chapter, the 10th verse, said, "The thief hath come but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundantly." Now, church, this message today, it's elementary to some, yet it's necessary for all of us. I keep telling the staff, thank God for new insights and revelations to the Word of God. But what we need really right now, because I see so many people with great needs in their life, we need to recycle the basics and be sure that people really understand. What is faith all about? What is hope all about? What is love all about? What are the foundational basics that build a house? You don't just start building a house on the sand. There's a preparation time. There's a dirt time. There's a leveling time. There's a digging time to establish a foundation that will hold that structure good. So we're ministering today on how to live real life. The thief hath come but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. A truth that I say, and I'm going to say it louder than ever before. It's impossible to be strong in the Lord unless and until you know who you are in Christ and know what you have in Christ. And you know, it's amazing how many people have been around churches, maybe for years, maybe just briefly. How many people have heard this and read that, and you've ordered this tape and you've listened to that, and you watch Christian television, and you come to church. But when the storm comes, do you know a foundation that will see you through that storm? It's a sure foundation that will keep you in the midst of the storm. It will keep you from quitting. It will keep you from getting a spirit of offense. It will keep you from picking up someone else's offense. It will keep you from just throwing in the towel when the pressures are on. Now, the Word of God tells us over in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. This is just one of many verses. "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly," or completely. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. "And I pray God that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." It's amazing sometimes how one single verse contains so much powerful truth. And this is one of those verses that is just awesome. Paul's prayer that the very God of peace, of shalom peace, we won't get involved in further than that, but may he sanctify you. May he make Bob Nichols wholly, completely what God wants him to be in his spirit and his soul and his body. 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, "If any man," and there's neither male nor female, we're all saved by the same Jesus, the same grace, the same faith. "If any man or any woman be in Christ, they are a new creation. Behold, the old things have passed away. And watch it. Now we're in the process of all things becoming new." This is so important. When we are born again, when someone comes forward or wherever it happened in your life, at that moment that you say, "God, I believe in your Son." I mean, there's a variety of prayers. The thief on the cross prayed probably one of the briefest prayers in history, but it worked. He just said, "Remember me," because every fiber of his being in that simple thing that he said, "Remember me," everything inside of him says, "I believe in you, Jesus." Everything in him, I mean, hanging on a cross, everything inside of him said, "I believe in you, Jesus. Though we're all hanging on the crosses, I believe in you." And you say, "Well, can that kind of a prayer work?" If it comes from the heart, it can. Because Jesus said, this day, you will be with me in paradise. This day, praise God. At the moment of salvation, every sin that you've ever committed is forgiven and forgotten and forever under the blood of Jesus. When Paul on the road to Damascus said, "Lord," every Christian that had ever been killed because of his decree, it's pretty awesome, isn't it? Wouldn't you like to have a resume for a pastor for a church that had several hundred people that he had been responsible for their death? I'm not being foolish with it, but that's the way it was. That was the Apostle Paul that God used after his conversion to write almost 2/3 of the New Testament. And God used him to write 1 Corinthians 13, which tells me no matter who you are or where you've come from, God can change you. God can cancel your crazy past. God can cancel your dysfunctional parents or grandparents. It doesn't make any difference what's happened in your life. The blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, is able to cleanse every sin, wash you, make you clean, as though it had never been. Some of you ought to shout louder than others. Oh my. Come, you sinners, lost and hopeless. Jesus' blood can make you free, for he saved the worst among you when he saved a wretch like me. It's the song we sang as a child growing up in church. So when you're born again, you're not 99, 44, and 100% forgiven. You are completely forgiven every sin. And if anyone brings anything up, that's not you. That was somebody else. I'm not the same Robert Nichols I was for a certain period of my life. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. But oh, I've got to tell you the rest of the story now. We're in a process. I wished we could have borrowed a highway sign for a while. Under construction. That's where we all are. Even under grace. Even under grace. Boy, this is every kind of an arrow is flying that can fly nowadays. Salvation is by grace through faith. It takes both. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, don't put us under that works thing, Pastor. I'm going to share with you why we need to come to church. Why do we need to come to church? I want to share with you why we need to pray every day. I want to share with you why we need to read at least a chapter out of God's Word every day. You know, that's not asking too much. I was going to go to sleep the other night, and I thought, well, I want to read some Word. I thought, you know, there's just 4 chapters in Philippians. And I sat down and read 4 chapters. And, you know, it's happened all my ministry life. Sometimes you start out reading, it's a little dry. You know, you kind of grind along a little bit. Not that the Word's dry, it's that we're dry. But I've just read myself into lightning. I've read myself into a fresh touch from God. I've read until a verse leaps off the page. Wow. Ha, ha, ha. You know, you just get in the Word and read until you strike fire. Hallelujah. Boy, you run across something like, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Dear Lord. How can you read that with a straight face and a sad heart? Can't do it. But here's the thing, saints. When we're born again, my spirit is made brand new. But listen to me. I mean, there's all kind of fur flying on this grace thing. I tell you, I believe in grace with every fiber of my being, because let me tell you a little secret behind the scenes. Pastor Bob Nichols can't make it without the grace of God. And there's another P.S. to that. You can't make it without the grace of God. Someone said you got to confess every sin on the spot. Dear Lord, we'd spend all our time confessing. You'd be a traffic hazard on the freeway. I'm not making fun of that, but, and I do believe in asking God for His forgiveness for unconfessed and unforgiven sin. All right, I'm born again. My spirit is brand new. I'm going to heaven. You can interpret this any way you want to. I'm bringing some stuff out of the closet that I've hesitated to for a long time, but I'm trying to help people. And out of a pastor's heart, I'm sharing some of the things I'm sharing. All right, now, but from that point on, you're under construction. That's why you say, well, I know a lot of believers that aren't what they should be. Look in the mirror, honey, you're one of them. To begin with, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin is coming short. If an airplane is short of the runway, that's called a crash. You've got to touch down somewhere on solid runway. Amen. I know that, track me now so you'll know exactly what I'm saying, but I will stand up against anybody, anywhere, Dr. Who's It or whoever got the latest revelation. This is the way it is, honey. This is the way it is. When I'm born again, my spirit is brand new. And I will, yet according to 1 John 1:9, said if we say there's no sin, we never sin, we're a liar. That's harsh language. We've all missed it. And I hate to tell you, but we're all going to miss it again. We might even miss it on Sunday before we get back on Sunday night. I am telling the truth. Praise God. But here's the thing. Why is 2/3? You say, well, no one's going to tell me what to do. I don't want a preacher telling me what to do. I don't want a church to, you know, that old rebellious spirit. Hey, we're all learning and growing. But you know, here's the thing. Why did God use Paul to write almost 2/3 of the New Testament to tell us, I mean, in Ephesians, I mean, it's just bang, 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 telling us things we should do and things we shouldn't do. Telling husbands to love your wives as Christ loves the church. Love the church. Why is all this stuff that we're supposed to do and supposed to be and supposed to be a part of, why is it in the Word? Listen and write it down. To keep you on your way to heaven from going through sheer hell. Why does the Word of God say there's things you do, there's things you don't do, there's things you think, not for you to go to heaven or hell. This is not heaven or hell I'm talking about. This is to keep you from living a life of hell on your way to heaven. And this is deeper than some folks are comprehending this morning. I'll tell you, I'm obeying the Spirit of God. And that's why so many Christians are so miserable in their Christian experience. They don't know who they are. They don't know what they have. They don't know whether they're saved or they're not saved. And I know I've seen it over the years. I remember a lady that used to come to the altar every time anybody gave an altar call. They would always come to the altar. She must have been saved 10,420 times. But you know what my thought was? When I found out her background, she had come from a very pitiful background, had not had proper parenting. Her parents were disastrous, totally dysfunctional. And that poor girl was raised in some kind of an extreme legalistic, unfortunately Pentecostal church. And she was never taught who she was or what she had in Christ. So all of her life, and that could have been a Baptist church or it could have been a Methodist church, she really didn't know who she was in Christ, and to make sure, she would answer every altar call because she didn't want to go to hell. That touched my heart. And so, honey, as an old Church of God preacher said, if you got to come to the altar every time for salvation, put a saddle on the altar and ride it like a horse. Just go over to Ladies' Boots and buy you a nice saddle, and we'll just keep it back in the storage room, and every time we have an altar call, you can just put that saddle. You said, now that's another problem I've got with this church. We don't have altars. An altar is anywhere you stand or kneel or bow to meet God. This is an altar all the way across. There's an altar all the way across this. I'll tell you, I've bumped more knees on altars and churches. So we just have, we pray for people. And it keeps our catchers busy enough. But, gives you room to be free to let God touch you. Well, you say, brother, we need altars. And she says, honey, that's an altar. That's an altar. That's an altar. And there's an altar in the aisle, and there's an altar at every pew. Wherever you bow before God, that's an altar. Wherever your heart reaches out to God, that is an altar. Okay, so we'll leave that one alone. Praise the Lord. But here's the thing. My spirit is brand new. But I have a mind and I have a body. David Nunn, that we traveled with a number of years ago, he's one of the members of the Voice of Healing under Dr. Gordon Lindsay. But God delivered him from insanity. And God set him free. And I believe it was the writings of either E.W. Kenyon or Kenneth Hagin. I don't remember which. But I remember the message he used to preach so often. The battle is in the mind. For as a man thinketh, so is he. So if your mind's a runaway train, your life's going to be a runaway train. You won't know whether you're coming or going or up or down or in or out. You'll always be under condemnation. You'll just... Before I got saved, I had one prayer I'd pray at night. I had the fear of God. Please don't come tonight, Jesus. But after I got born again, I prayed the prayer of John. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Come on, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. So the truth of it, and that's why we need churches like Calvary Cathedral and Bible colleges like we have, is to teach you who you are and what you have in Christ. That we literally are not conquered, but more than conquerors. That we are strong in the Lord and the power of His might. That they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Hallelujah. And folks, in this workaday world, even billboards on the freeway or on television, that's one reason I'm not real keen on movies, because in every movie, if it's not this movie, they're previewing one to come that either has profanity in it or it has some form of perversion that you got delivered from, and you're sitting there paying your money to Hollywood to advertise what you got delivered from. I'm more select than I used to be. I like what Andrew Womack says. I'm not going to lease space in my mind to Satan. I'm not going to rent storefront to Satan. Amen. I have enough challenge to keep my thinking straight without plugging into stinking thinking. Amen. So, old things are passed away. Now say it with me. If any man be in Christ, they are a new creation. All things, all sins, all failures are behind them. Behold, now all things are becoming new. All things. So we're in a continuing education class daily to learn, to grow, to hear. And it doesn't have to be me preaching. That's why I enjoy hearing other people preach. But when I come, I always put my faith on the line. Lord, I'm going to hear something today in this message that's going to be life-changing for me. Amen. But you say, now, what about your body? Well, let's go over to Romans, actually. You act like you're enjoying the word today. Thank you. Appreciate it. Here, Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 3. I beseech you, I beg of you, I'm leaning on you. Hear me. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Do you see that? God's calling for you. Could someone turn that fan on for me quickly? If it's not on, turn it on. Don't need it on high, just a little air circulated up here. Thank you. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Does it make a difference what your body and what you are all about? Holy, acceptable unto God. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your, that's just your reasonable service. And he's not, God has never asked us for something we can't do or something we can't be. Anything the Word of God challenges us to do or be, God has already made provision through the finished work of Calvary, through the Lord Jesus Christ, for us to be able to do that. Amen. Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. This is just your reasonable service. Not to be saved, are you listening to me? Not to be saved, but so that you don't go through hell on the way to heaven. You can so conduct yourself that you will be offensive to people as you're on your way to heaven. I know some Christians that are very offensive. I mean, they're obnoxious. You want to slap them on both cheeks, but you know you'd have a lawsuit if you did. I had a believer lie to me the last few weeks. Bald face lie on something that I knew beyond the shadow of a doubt. And I asked a question, and I got an answer. Oh, yes. I'm going to tell you, if the grace that was present with Ananias and Sapphira, you listen to Pastor Bob Nichols. You know, when someone laughs in your face when you say, remember Korah back in the Old Testament, that 250 people, God made a hole in the ground and it swallowed the husband, the wife, the kids, the dogs, the cats, the house. Everything went into the big hole. It really happened. That God torched the twin cities of Sodom and, get back to that happy stuff. This is part of it. And then you come to the New Testament. They didn't have to do it, but Ananias and Sapphira got their heads together and said, the whole church is going to applaud us. They're going to give us a gold plaque and put it on the wall. We're going to go and we're going to sell some property. At least we're going to say we sold some property, and we're going to say that we're bringing all this to the Lord. And you know the story. One walked in, told a lie, and he said, there's one problem here. You didn't lie to the apostle. You lied to the Holy Ghost. Church, listen to me. Believers have got to stop lying, especially to pastors. I get hungry to hear the truth. Tell me the real story behind the story. Don't give me that computer-generated letter that everyone seems to know where it comes from. Tell me the truth. Let's talk. Is there something we need to talk about? And be honest in the conversation, not mean-spirited. Tell the truth. The first time, when it doesn't make any difference. But it does with God. God wants us to tell one another the truth. God wants us to tell one another the truth. You can claim to be born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talk or whatever, but you look a preacher straight in the eye and tell him a bald-faced lie, and you tell me that doesn't count with God. You better thank God for mercy. You better thank God for grace. And the conversation was soon over, and I'd had enough of that. See you later. Now you say, why do you touch on that? Because we're going to have to get, church, we're going to have to get our act together if we're going to see the greater things of God. We're going to have to be more loving. We're going to have to be more truthful. Well, more. We're going to have to tell the truth the first time. We're going to have to love one another, help one another. Isaiah 41, they helped one another. I need you and you need me. Listen to me. This is a whole new day in Calvary Cathedral International. I need your help and you need my help. And if for some reason this whole thing around here is a terrible negative spin to you, God bless you. Go where it's perfect and spoil it. If you see some redemptive value in this church and in what we do and how we're trying to help, I know there's things to iron out and there's things to do. You say, well, I've got a list. My list is longer than yours on things that need to change because I have a pastor shepherd's eye. But you don't see everything overnight. You go one step at a time, one change at a time, and thank God we're still moving. All forward motion produces friction. Amen. And even in winning souls, it produces friction. But you know what we have to do? We have to love one another, help one another, strengthen one another, be friends with one another. Be nice. Be nice. Be nice. Don't be tacky. Don't be ugly. Don't run your mouth when you don't know what you're talking about. Let's get back on the word. All right, here. Some of you are praying in the spirit now. Get him back on the word. I am on the word. Romans, the 12th chapter, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's why women don't need to display everything God gave them on their body to the public. That was a pretty weak hand clap. I was in Papa Do's this last week. And there was a couple sitting right by the aisle. And she was generously endowed in the upper areas, okay? And there wasn't much left to imagination. And her husband looked like a big weenie. You could tell who wore the pants in the family. And the waiters were about to drop their trays and people would come by. I mean, it was a sideshow. You couldn't have gone to some joint and it'd been more of a sideshow. And I thought, God, have mercy. Now, is that presenting your body as a living sacrifice? No, you're causing somebody else to stumble or fall if you have any conscience at all. Folks, we've got to live and act and display ourselves, not to shock people, but to win people to Jesus. Now, all that's, well, it gets deeper here. And be not conformed to this world, to Hollywood, to the latest movie, but be ye transformed, changed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me. I could read the rest of the verse, but I'll cease there. I'm reading from Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through part of verse 3. God here says that your minds and your bodies are to glorify God. Amen. Praise be unto God. Oh, it's getting a little quiet in this place. Philippians 2:5 said, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Why do we come to church? I know the Bible doesn't say how many chapters a day you should read. And I know men put the division in those chapters sometimes. But I mean, why should we read a given portion of God's Word every day? Why should we at least start the day with prayer? And you're not going to hell if you miss your prayer time and you have to jump up and you overslept and you're going down the freeway and say, oh God, don't send me to hell. That's not what I'm talking about. Why should we regularly, when it's possible, come to the house of God? And there's reasonable times when you can't. And I understand that. I'm not an unreasonable pastor. Why do we need the house of God? Why do we need our fellow believers? Why do we need to invest in the kingdom of God? Because the word of God before, during, and after the law said tithing is unto the Lord. Why do we need to witness? Because the last thing Jesus said before he disappeared on us in Acts was, ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And then he disappeared. The last recorded words of Jesus was, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Now, when people are about to leave this world, they're all gathered around the hospital bed, hoping they'll be in the will. They're hanging on every word, you know, if there's any doubt whatsoever. If there's any gleam of hope that they're going to profit out of this homegoing of whoever it might be. But Jesus spoke his heart. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Not just power to run the aisle. Not just power to scream or yell. I believe in whatever God wants to do. But power to witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth in every way that you can do that. By television, by radio, by stitches, by outreach, door to door. However, reach everyone you can with the gospel of Christ. Every church, not just this church, every church has that mandate. Every church has that command. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. So the Bible said, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. That was the mind of Jesus, to seek and to search, whether it be a woman at the well or feeding of the thousands. Jesus came to love and to help and to win people. Ephesians 4:23 said that we be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This morning, if you have an open heart, God is using Pastor Bob Nichols to help you to start the process of being renewed in your minds. By the grace of God, I'm going to think on a higher plane. I'm going to think like God thinks. I'm going to think like Jesus thinks. Amen. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Romans 12:2, I just read that. By the renewing of your mind. Amen. Romans 8:7, the carnal mind or the fleshly mind is enmity against God. Even the way the average believer thinks is enmity against God. Are you listening to me? I feel obligated because we've heard some of the best teaching in the world in the three churches that I've been pastor of for the last 49 years. I've heard some of the strongest. We've had men like Kenneth E. Hagin. We've had a number of others that I won't go into their names. We have heard the word. Therefore, we have an obligation to live on a higher plane, to live on a higher soul-winning plane, to live on a higher healing plane, to live on a higher plane of being honest and honorable. And what we, of all people, should strive not by works, not because of works, not because I'm afraid I'm going to hell, but because I don't want to go through hell on my way to heaven. You take a husband and wife. If a husband doesn't do right by his wife, he's going to go through a bunch of hell on his way to heaven. And the same thing with a wife. I've had women say, well, I know what the word says, but I'm not going to yield myself as a wife. Well, honey, you got a lifetime of misery ahead of you. Because it only works when you do it the way God said to do it. God created you for one another. And unless you've done something we don't need to talk about here today, all things being equal, God wants husbands and wives to love one another, to be kind to one another, to speak lovingly to one another, and to obey what the Word of God has to say. The carnal mind is enmity against God. I should think on a higher plane because I've been exposed to a higher level of gospel. You too. 2 Timothy 2:2. That you be not soon shaken in mind. Oh, Brother Nichols, I'm just so upset. You know what I just heard? Talking to you, honey. That you be not soon shaken in your mind. Every little bump in the road shouldn't ruin your day. Every little bit of gossip, every little crazy thing, that everything on Facebook. For the most part, you need to keep your nose out of it anyway. No, the bad part of it. If we'd use it constructively, if we'd use it positively, it'd be something else. But the sewer that's there, I'm sorry, I have better things to do. I'm not sorry, but I'm telling you the truth. So here we go. That you be not soon shaken. God doesn't want stinking thinking to ruin your day. Well, I just heard. Pastor J.C. Hibbert with his wife Nell Hibbert pastored Gospel Lighthouse Church in Dallas, Texas. Some of the great pastors that really made contributions to my life, even through radio on KSKY years ago. And I remember Sister Hibbert, boy, she'd fire a shot just like it was. She said, you know, someone came to me in the church. They said, honey, I don't understand why everybody brings gossip to me. And she said, honey, they know a good trash can when they see one. They know where they can get rid of that. Do you need Greek or Hebrew on that? Well, it seems like everybody brings me on. Get them by the ear, get them on their knees, and have a Holy Ghost shalabakoraka prayer meeting and stop that gossip and garbage and get a hold of God. My Lord. See, be nice. I am. I'm being pretty civil, really. 2 Timothy 2:2, that you be not soon, quickly, shaken in mind. Who can ruin your day? Who can destroy what you got on Sunday morning? Who can make your whole world to just be a disaster? Either pray them through or leave them alone. Amen. All right, moving on here. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, dunamis power, love, the God kind of love, and a sound mind. Oh, thank God, sound mind. You know why Hollywood puts out all the stuff they put out? Because they're crazy. They're about 98% perverted. Boy, you shouted me down on that one, didn't you? Some people just need to get a day job. Get something to occupy their time. Dear God. God has not given me the spirit of fear or intimidation. You can't even be a good businessman and operate in fear. You can't be a good husband or wife and operate in fear. You can't be the best parent and operate in fear all the time. You're afraid of this. You're afraid of that. Well, I'm just afraid. I'm afraid. I've seen some mothers that just almost drove themselves into a premature grave. Every little thing that would happen, they just worry themselves about their child. We need to get a grip on that by the help of God. Fear's real, but fear's the opposite of faith. Why don't you use faith for your children like you're using fear for your children? And see what God will do out of that. Now, here's another one. 1 Peter 1:13. And for any reason I'm wrong on any of these references, you'll find it. But here it says, 1 Peter 1:13. Gird up the loins of your mind. Get a grip. Get a grip on your mind. Don't let your mind run like a shutter on an old camera. Get a grip on your mind. There are times I've slapped myself on the cheek and said, mind, you will not think that thought. Satan, get out of this car. There's times I've stopped on a highway or a freeway. I've opened the door and said, out!
out.
Glory to God. Amen. Excuse me, I got a little crisis here. Oh my.
Gird up the loins of your mind. Get a grip. You have a choice in what you think. You have a choice in what you dwell on. Times I wake up in the middle of the night and say, shut up, devil. Get out of here. No.
Amen. The battle is in your mind. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Well, you say sin, what to do about it? Well, we all miss it. We've all missed it. What do you do about it? 1 John chapter 1, especially verses 7 through 10. Might as well just do it right and give you what the Word of God. I'm not going to be, that's the most dangerous words in church. I'm not going to be very long. Oh, where was I going? What was I going to do? 1 John, there we go. Thank you. First time I read this, there were 90 yards of skid marks in my spirit. 1 John, I'm almost there. I just wanted to be sure we got it right. All right, 1 John, here at verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The answer to too much sin or too many sinful thoughts is just to invite Jesus into your car. Invite Jesus into your office. And if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we're so busy fellowshipping with Jesus, it makes a difference in what you think and where you go. Amen. Makes a difference where you go. Makes a difference what you do. So, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, there's no doubt about him being in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Let me throw one out there. I'm still after it. I haven't arrived yet, but I'm on the way. There is a place in Christ of perpetual cleansing. It's right here. I discovered it years ago. There's just some stuff that, because some people are kind of slow in receiving things like this, that I just am very selective about putting some things out. But today, God said, just let the cat out of the bag. Just lay it on the line. Tell it like it is, which I try to do all the time. Now, if we say we have no sin, not me, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I have a confession. I went 3 days and forgot to ask forgiveness this last week. But I wasn't going to hell. Are you tracking with me? Of course, I don't walk around in an awesome dark shadow. I'm about to drop into hell. Some of you are going to have to chew on this a while. If we confess our sins, whatever they may be, he is faithful. He'll do it, and he'll do it every time to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we've not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. I'm not talking about your recreated spirit. How many think you kind of know what I'm talking about? Am I out there? Okay, thank you. If we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar and his word's not in us. And then it said what God's calling us to in First. I've already dumped more on you than most of you handle, but here we go. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. If you read the word, it'll tell you what not to do and what to do. The word is very, when you read the word, it'll say avoid this, don't say this, six things God hates, so you don't want to be a part of that. I mean, the word of God's pretty graphic. I mean, it just lays it on the line. Amen. So if we, I say that you sin not. And if any man sin, thank God we have an advocate. We have a substitute. We have a sacrifice. We have the finished work of Calvary, of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but for the sins of all of you and me and the world. And hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments, not to be saved, but so we don't have to go through hell on the way to heaven. It's not original with me, but I like to quote it every once in a while because it's so true, you know it's true. If you treat your wife like a thoroughbred, she won't wind up being an old nag. Amen. For he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Isn't that precious? So I don't have to release you today nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof, afraid you're going to go to hell. 14 things if you don't do it before 2 o'clock this afternoon, God's going to throw you out. I've shared with you some truth, powerful truth from God's word, that if we do these things, your mind clicks better, your body lives better. See, this body wants to eat too much or not enough. It wants to sleep too much or not enough. This mind, you know, never have the minds of people been challenged like they are in this day and time. With all the media and with all the things that are out, I shudder. I think of some things that I discovered too early in life. And I'll tell you, I still have to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I command that not to be in my memory bank. Something that happened when I was much, much younger. And I remember Dave Reaver saying, he said, I saw something that was pornographic or something when I was 7, I believe he said 7 years old. He said, it's borderline haunted me all my life. I have to deal with it in faith. That's why we don't need to go see trash on purpose. You got enough to deal with that you've already seen. You've got enough to deal with that you've been exposed to. You can't help it. You can't buy groceries with those stupid rags in front of your face. Crazy, weird bodies, and you know, just it's right in your face, whether it's CVS, Walgreens, or Sam's, or wherever you go. But here's the thing that God's speaking to our hearts. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. She is a new creature. If you're born again, ooh, there's been a change in me. Oh, there's been a change in me. All things have passed away. Don't let anybody put that on you. Forgiven, forgotten, forever, 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 forever. Now we're in the process of all things becoming new. I remember I said to a 70-year-old minister one time, I said, I'll be glad when I get to be 70 and I'll never have another bad thought again. He looked at me so kindly, he said, son, age has nothing to do with it. You can make a fool out of yourself at any age. You can read the wrong thing at any age. You can do the wrong thing at any age, young or old. But you know what? You shall receive power
after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. God has given to you and God has given to me, regardless of what our families or our relatives or our kinfolk, regardless of what you've come out of, regardless of the dysfunctional family you might have been a part of, or you might have had a storybook perfect family, but we still have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Oh, thank God. Hallelujah. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. That's why we still need to keep going to church. We still need to keep on reading the Word of God. We still need to keep on giving to God. Because God's not broke, but it just keeps the blessings flowing. I refuse to be a part of this Babylonian system, man-made bricks. Folks, we're in a world that's on fire. You better give while you can. Then when you can't, God will take care of you. Give while the choice is yours. Sow that seed. Put it in the ground. Do what you can do while you can do it. And if there ever comes a day you can't do it, He'll do it for you. He's already done it over 2,000 years ago. That's a good word, Brother Nichols. That's a good word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just saw in the Spirit, there's some people got free this morning. Hallelujah. Now you can jump and run if you want to, but I want you to stand and just hold steady just a moment here now. Hold it. God bless Martin Luther King. He said, thank God Almighty, free at last. I wonder how many folks feel like you got yourself some freedom, and we want to close out this moment just coming forward and saying, thank God Almighty, I'm free. I'm free. I'm not in bondage. Not going to hold you, but I preached myself happy this morning. Whatever I did, teach, preach, exhort, whatever. You know, growing up, you know, I thank God for the way I grew up and thank God for all the preaching I heard. They could tell you how to get saved, but they couldn't tell you how to stay saved. You know what I'm talking about. I've told you how to get saved. But I've also told you, if you are saved, you don't have to go through hell to go to heaven. You got that, didn't you? That is so foundational, isn't it? I've never said that before. I've never said it like that before. I think I said it, was it last Sunday or Sunday before that? That God doesn't want you to have to go through hell on your way to heaven. I'll tell you, this morning has been a very powerful morning, even if I did preach it. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Let's lift our hands and just say, thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Woo! Hey, hey, hey! Free at last! Hallelujah! People constantly remind me when the tornado came and our downtown property was, well, it was, some of it was still standing, but it was destroyed. That we told the news media time and time again, as with Job, we will come out with at least twice as much. And did God do it? We've come out with three times as much. And we didn't have to go to the bank and borrow $8 or $10 million to build a new gym or a new Christian school. Folks, if there's a church in the world that has seen the miracles of God, it's this church right here. And that's why I just want to give glory to God. I give Him all the glory. Oh, Jesus. No one spent more time in the principal's office than me. Maybe.
One side of my buns was warm from the school, the other side from when I got home. Of course, they said if you get one at school, you'll get one when you get home. That's when children used to be disciplined. Now, honey, don't do that for the 543rd time. Woo! Oh, Jesus. Father, I want to thank you for the Word of God. It's a lamp under our feet. It's a light in our pathway. And Father, I don't want to speak away anything that has been spoken today. God, I want to thank you for saving me and revealing to me who I am and what I have in Christ. We're not going to leave this church this morning under condemnation or guilt or dread. We're leaving saying, thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. My mind is free. My body is free. I'm on my way to heaven. Father, I thank you for the precious people of this church. I thank you for the way they receive the word. I thank you that we're able to bring that word and see change in people's lives. Now bless our graduation tonight, and I'll be preaching that. Father, I thank you in advance for your anointing upon us as we minister. And I just thank you that every financial need of this church will be met. It's a new day in Calvary. That we're going out to the highways and hedges. We're going to bring people in as never before. And we're going to bring them in to be blessed of God in this house. Bless our Christian school and our graduation this next week. Our Bible school, Bible college graduation. Lord, I'm asking you to bless the finances of the couples of this church. We've declared this month as Friendship Month. Father, may we find somebody and take them out to lunch. Get to know somebody better than before. We pray in Jesus' name, and we give you all the glory. Well, God bless you. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things He has done. With His love, He has saved.
shoes you got on, I do understand. I would choose to love you, God. And when I do understand.
God.